You got a Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 on this Palm Sunday. As we wrap up our series, just a reminder, right, with it being Palm Sunday, that means next week is Easter Sunday, and we've got a jam-packed Easter weekend going on. We've got a Good Friday service happening at 6 p.m. On Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, we've got four service times, 7:30, 8:45, 10, and 11:15. You'll see that information in your bulletin. So make plans to join us on that day. Also have an Easter egg hunt happening, Saturday, from 11 to 1 p.m. here. Get a chance to connect with our community. If you're interested in helping with that, you can join us at 10 a.m. On that Saturday. And so, with that being said, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be in verses 10 through 20 today, wrapping up this series. Through the book of Ephesians, and Paul wraps up this letter to the church by telling them, hey, you guys need to ready yourselves for battle. Need to ready yourselves for battle. And he walks through what that looks like here. Here's the reality today. When we came to faith in Christ, whenever that was for you in your life, yes, we were saved, we were changed. Right? We're a new creature, a new creation, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. Right? We've been given a new name and adopted into the family of God. But also, when we were saved, we were thrusted into a battle. We were. Here's the truth. Christianity, right? Our walk with Jesus, can I just be honest with you? It's not all sunshine, flowers, and roses. It's not. Our walk with Jesus, right, our relationship with Him is not all rainbows and happiness all the time. The reality is, and what Paul is getting ready to talk about here, is that this Christian life, though, man, it is a great one, right, we're satisfied in Him, the reality is, it's a battle. It's a battle because we've got a real enemy, right, that doesn't like the fact that we belong to Jesus. And he understands that though he can't take away our salvation, man, he can do whatever he can to distract us, discourage us, and keep us from continuing to walk with him. And so Paul here shares with the church at Ephesus, and he's sharing with us this morning, this call, right, to ready yourselves for battle. Ready yourselves for battle. And so starting in verse 10, if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. If you don't have a copy of God's Word in front of you, the verses will be on the screen. You can follow along there. But this is what the Word of the Lord says. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Another way to say that is put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in chains. That I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And we'll pray one more time this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us through your word. Have your way. Lord, help us to be a people, remind us, Lord, and be a people that fight from the victory we have in you. Lord, understand that we are in a battle still. We're still in this old flesh and blood, Lord. The war's been won, Lord, but the enemy's still at work. So, Lord, help us to be a people that, God, do what it takes to win the battle of faith, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Going back to the context here in first century Ephesus, right? Paul is writing to these Christians to encourage them to continue, to fight this fight of faith. Like I mentioned, man, we're in a battle. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to fight the fight of faith. Hey, we've got to understand, right, that when we got saved, the reality is we've got an enemy, man, that's looking to do whatever he can to steal, kill, and destroy us. But the good news is, hallelujah, he is a defeated foe. We don't have to, man, be worried about there being a devil or a demon under every rock and tree. We don't have to be worried, right, about him taking us out, right, as long as we understand, man, that it is he that we're fighting, number one, but it is he who lives in us that is greater, man, that than he who is in the world. And so Paul here challenges and encourages us, right, to understand that we are in a battle. But he shares, right, how we could be folks that end up, man, winning this battle in the end. The sad reality, though Satan is a defeated foe, the sad reality is a lot of believers, man, allow for Satan, man, to end up defeating them. Man, to take them out because of decisions that they make, because of the way that they live their life. And Paul says, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live defeated. But you can, hey, end up winning this battle of faith. And Paul, man, he speaks about here. That's what I've entitled the message today, winning the battle of faith. Winning the battle of faith in him. He talks about three ways in which we're able to do that. The first way we see right there in verse 10. The first way is this. In order to win, man, the battle of faith, we've got to choose to be people that run to the Lord for strength. He says it right there. Finally, hey, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That call to be strong, right, in the original language, it is in what is known as the present passive tense. And so what that means is Paul is telling us to continue to be strong, but there's got to be another force at work in us to enable us to be strong. Hello, right? And the call is a command. It's in the imperative. And so Paul is telling us, hey, be strong in Christ. Choose to run to the Lord for strength, right? Because he talks about it thereafter in the strength of his might. You've got to understand that God has, man, hey, unlimited strength. He's omnipotent, right? All powerful. So choose to run to him for the strength to be able to win this daily battle. The problem with a lot of believers, right, is that, hey, you're like me. You think, man, that you're a lot stronger than you actually are. I remember a key example of that. Brother Ben was, I remember in middle school football, right? We're in practice and we're doing hitting drills. And I remember the coach, man, wanted to teach us a little lesson. So he put, you know, us, the little shrimpy defensive backs, the little shrimpy corners, right up against, right, some of the D linemen. And there was this big old dude, man, my buddy DeChambre is his name. Man, big old defensive lineman, man, he was lined up right in front of me. And I said, you know what, I was a little scared. I tried to get to the back of the line, but the coach called me out. I'm just going to be honest, called me out. So I had to step up front. I said, you know what, I'm going to take him. You know, all 5'2", a buck, you know, 05 of myself. I'm going to take this dude. Bad idea. Ran, tried to tackle him. I end up just wrapping him up. And he just ends up running me over. I end up falling, man, you know, fall awkwardly on my foot, break my foot. And I learned that day, hey, I'm not as strong as I think I am. Even though I like to flex, you know, and you know, in the mirror back at that time, I wasn't as strong as I thought I was. Man, same thing can apply, man. And same thing can be said about a lot of believers. You think you're a lot stronger than you are. because of the Bible knowledge you may have. Hey, because of how long you've been a Christian. Because of the different church activities that you may do. But the reality is, it doesn't matter about your acumen or what you've achieved or accomplished in this life. It doesn't matter about your charisma, right, or how much knowledge of the Bible you know. The reality is, hey, on our own, we're not strong enough, man, to defeat the enemy or to continue to stand against the enemy's attacks. And Paul, man, understood that. And he shares with us, hey, we've got to choose, man, to run to the Lord for strength. Got to choose to run to Him and lean on Him. The Lord is the one who provides the strength to keep progressing forward right in the Christian life. It is by His power and His Spirit that we're able to move forward in Him, man, in the midst of, man, the enemy's attacks. And so the call for us is to run to Him. You know this passage, but I'll go ahead and read it anyways. Isaiah 40, a good reminder for us, verses 28 through 31, says it like this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. He does not faint, nor does He grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Hey, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Even young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we just sang just a little while ago, hey, we win the daily battles of faith. We win the battle of faith, man, surrendered on our knees to the Lord, man, in prayer, man, in connection to Him. He's the one who gives us the strength, man, to resist temptation, to live for Him, and to keep moving forward in Him. And so, child of God, hey, choose to run to Him. Hey, don't grow tired of that rip. Don't fall victim to the lie of the enemy that says, hey, but you've graduated from, right, choosing to run to Him for strength because of how long you've been a Christian or how much Bible you know, right, or how many good things you do for God. Man, don't buy into the lie. Hey, choose to daily run to Him. Run to the Lord for strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Man, hey, that's how we first and foremost, win the battle of faith. Secondly, let's keep moving here. Second way we win the battle of faith is not only run to the Lord for strength, but choosing to ready ourselves for battle. That's what Paul says, starting in verse 11. Right? He says, hey, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The second way that we ready ourselves for battle is to choose to get ready, to ready ourselves for it. Man, I would look like a, you know, going back to football again, I'd look like a fool if I just showed up there, right? Man, we're supposed to be wearing full pads. I just showed up, man, in a t-shirt and shorts, expecting, man, to hit somebody. That'd be a bad idea. I'd break multiple bones, not just my foot. I'd break multiple bones, my body. Hey, if we're showing up, man, if we're living this Christian life for the Lord, man, and we live with a thought that, man, we're not going to experience, you know, a fight, if you will, that then we're living naive, if you will. Man, Paul encourages us to be people that ready ourselves for the battle. And he speaks to that by choosing to put on this armor, which we'll talk about here in a second. But firstly, man, readying ourselves for the battle is choosing to, man, be aware of the real enemy. In any battle, right, you're going against somebody or something, if you will. And Paul, man, wants to make the record straight by letting us know who the real enemy is. He says this, hey, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. We've got to have an awareness of, man, of who the real enemy is. Can I go ahead and just be honest with you? Hey, in the midst of the struggle in your home, hey, your spouse is not the real enemy. Hello. Hey, in the midst of the dispute, man, at the workplace or in another location, hey, that individual is not the real enemy. The human, right, is not the real enemy. The devil is. The devil is. Right, and hey, he works and moves, right, in mysterious ways, but first and foremost, I'm thankful that he is not God. He's not in, many places at once. He's not omnipresent, right? But he sends out his little demons and his little cronies, right, to, man, try and, man, steal, kill, and destroy us. Man, the leader of, the enemy leader is that of the devil. That word literally means accuser, man, because he is one who accuses us. And when it speaks to against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, the present darkness, it's speaking to, man, his demons here. We've got to understand, right, that this enemy, Satan, is real. He's alive and he's working. He's known as the God of this world. And the purpose, his purpose, man, is to ultimately take us down. I'm not looking, hey, to preach gloom and doom, because like I said earlier, hey, he's a defeated foe. I'm just looking to make sure, man, that you see it. Yeah, that you understand it. Man, in the midst of the struggle, man, hey, it very well could be, man, the enemy at work trying to attack your home, trying to tear you apart and your family apart, trying to attack you. The temptations that are coming, man, hey, it's of the flesh, but man, it's the enemy, man, looking to try and get you to fall. And the call for us is to be aware. Man, as one commentator said, hey, we've got to understand that there is a spiritual battle going on in this world and in the sphere of the heavenlies, and you and I are a part of it. Knowing this makes walking in victory a vitally important thing to us and to God. We've got to be aware of this enemy, right, and who he's described as. Just some ways that he is described here. He's known as the tempter, Matthew 4:3. He's known as a murderer and a liar, John 8:44. He's compared to a lion. He's not one, hallelujah. He's not one. He's like a roaring lion compared to that, 1 Peter 5:8, a serpent, god of this age, as I mentioned earlier. And man, what he tries to do is deceive, divide, accuse, tempt, intimidate, isolate, man, and lead us to darkness. But hallelujah, hey, when he comes, we can just say no because we're in Christ. We can avoid the temptation because we are in him, which leads to the second point. Not just having awareness of the enemy, but secondly, we've got to choose to armor up. We've got to choose to armor up. Look what Paul says here, the specifics of man, how we ready ourselves for battle. It says in verse 13, therefore take up or put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Paul says, hey, look, it's time to armor up. Readying yourself for battle is choosing that, man, hey, to put on the armor of God. Hey, which by the way is important. The armor of God doesn't just put on itself. You've got to choose to put it on yourself. You've got to make the decision, hey, to put it on yourself. And Paul talks about the specifics of this armor as you walk through verses 13 through 17, right? He speaks first and foremost about the belt of truth, right? The belt of truth, as one commentary says, right, is understanding and knowing the gospel, right? Putting it on, man, and choosing to ultimately live it out. Choosing to be one that preaches the truth of the gospel to yourself, man, and walking in it as a follower of Christ, man, the belt of truth. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. For the Roman soldier, the breastplate, man, it covered the chest to protect against assaults and arrows. Right, what that means for us, Paul, obviously, speaks about two different types of righteousness here. Our positional righteousness, who we are in Christ. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he made him, God the Father, right, made God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We've been declared righteous, made righteous when we came to faith in Christ. We've got our positional righteousness on. So when the enemy, right, shoots the fiery darts, right, accusing us of not being saved, accusing us, man, of being lost, being far from him when we stumble, right, hey, we got that breastplate on of righteousness to protect us. But also he's talking about practical righteousness, right? I.e. right living, right? Putting on the breastplate of righteousness is not only just understanding the fact that you're saved, but living like it. Making the decision to live as though, man, you are a Christian. Live right, to exhibiting these characteristics of the fruits of the Spirit, right, that we have now that we know Him. The call for us is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, right, He says this, to put on the shoes of peace, verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Man, putting on the right shoes. Put on the right shoes. Hey, I'm not going to be one, right, that whenever I go out to play basketball, I'm not going to put on Birkenstocks to hoop in. I'm not going to put on those shoes. I've never worn, by the way, I never worn Birkenstocks before, but I hear they're pretty comfortable, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to put on those shoes to hoop in. I'm going to put on the right shoes to ready myself, man, for what's to come. Man, in a similar sense, that's what Paul's talking about here. Man, hey, putting on the shoes, right, to the gospel of peace. The gospel provides peace, right? That's what the gospel is. But also, he's speaking about, hey, in our life, man, as we look to live for Him, as the enemy looks to attack us, we look to be folks that are ready to share the gospel with people. Because as we talk about here in a second, hey, that's what combats the darkness, is the gospel, and us sharing the gospel. That's what combats, right, to the enemy and his attacks, man, is us going and sharing the gospel. And so the call for us is to put on the shoes of peace. And then he speaks to the shield of faith. Shield of faith there in the text, right? Faith, man, can be seen as a defensive weapon that protects us, right, in the same way from Satan's fiery darts. Walking by faith. Hey, when Satan, you've probably had this before, when Satan, man, hey, he shoots those fiery darts of doubt. You've been asking God, man, for something, asking God to do a work, man, in your life. Doesn't seem like He's close. Satan shoots those fiery darts. Hey, yeah, God doesn't really care about you. He would have provided that for you if He did. God isn't really looking out for you. You might as well, hey, choose to do your own thing when He shoots those. Hey, it's the shield of faith that protects you. Understanding, you know, hey, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, hey, I'm going to be one that walks by faith and not by sight. I'm going to be one, hey, that chooses, man, to duck under this shield, man, and be protected from those darts that come. The shield of faith. Then he talks about the helmet of salvation there. Man, us putting on this helmet, man, the greatest way, as we know, that Satan likes to attack is by way of, man, attacking our mind. But hallelujah, man, hey, if you're saved, first and foremost, if you're saved, shout amen. Amen. Hey, if you're saved, listen, you're secure, right? And so, hey, even when Satan wants to attack the mind, right, get you to take you to places you don't want to go, man, all you got to do is remind him, hey, I don't worship you. I worship the Lord, man. I'm in him. We got to choose to put on the helmet of salvation. Then lastly, hey, he talks about the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, man, how we combat, man, Satan and his demons as he looks to attack us in the various ways is by way of knowing the Word. Do you know the Word? Some of us, man, hey, continue to be victims of the lies of this world, this culture, of the enemy, because we don't know the Word and what it says. We're not spending time, man, in His Word and in prayer. And the call for us is to be people that know His Word so that we can combat the enemy when he comes. All of these, man, pieces of armor we've got to choose to put on in Him. We've got to choose to armor up. Then thirdly, he says here, how do we ready ourselves for battle? Man, we've got to choose to be people that are active in prayer. After he finishes talking about the armor, look what he says in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit. That word praying there is what is known as a participle, right, in the original language, right, to an adjective disguising itself as a noun. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? Paul is saying here the call for us is to, man, be folks that pray at all times. That is, what we're called to do. That's part of us readying ourselves for battle. But what he's saying even more so is, prayer isn't just something that we ought to do at all times. Prayer ought to be, right, something that we're known and described as His people. We ought to be known and described as people of prayer. Prayer is more than just something we do. We ought to be known for those folks. We ought to be known as being prayer warriors. As one quote says, if a Christian ought to be known for anything, we ought to be known for prayer. So readying ourselves, man, for battle is being folks that pray at all times. Man, pray at the house. Pray at the church. Pray with your kids. Hey, pray at the workplace. Pray over, man, the friend that's struggling, that's in need. Pray at school. Hey, pray in the parking lot, bless God. As you walk around and work out, man, choose to pray. Pray at all times. We ought to be folks that are active in prayer. He says praying at all times in the Spirit. A lot of folks see that right in the Spirit. They believe it's talking about praying in a certain tongue, right, or a certain ecstatic language. And many folks use that to really lift up their will, if you will, their thought on the gift of tongues and its significance, right, to our faith, its significance in the Christian life. But I don't believe that's what Paul is saying here. And 1 Corinthians 14 kind of speaks to that. Man, I believe ultimately what Paul is saying here is this. Man, praying in the Spirit, it speaks to praying right under the divine unction and leadership of the Spirit. So as you pray over requests, pray over your kids, man, hey, the Spirit of God, man, leads you perhaps to pray for something specifically for them or pray over them. As you pray over your spouse, man, the Spirit of God, man, may lead and direct you to pray for something specifically over them. Man, it's following the leadership of the Spirit. Paul is saying, hey, here it is. Paul is saying, don't do this consistent prayer out of rote or just out of routine or just something to do to make yourself feel more spiritual. No, no. Man, follow the leadership of the Spirit as you spend time in prayer. And so we ought to be folks, man, that choose to be active in prayer. How is your prayer life? When do you pray? When do you pray? Who do you pray for? Why are you praying? We ought to be folks that choose to pray. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says it like this. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. We ought to be folks that choose to be active in prayer. Hey, we got to ready ourselves for the battle. If we want to win the battle of faith, we've got to ready ourselves for battle. And thirdly and lastly, and I'm done, we've got to choose to remember to fight for the family of faith. Man, how do we win the battle of faith? Hey, we got to remember, man, to fight for the family of faith. Bible says if we're in Christ, we are known as the ecclesia, the folks that have been called out. This is what that word literally means, called out into this assembly, right, of other believers. We are a family together. And the call for us, right, is to remember to fight, man, for our family. Fight for our family. That's what I love, you know, by the way, about sports. You know, those that are in the military, right, you understand this as well. Man, it isn't just a one-man band, you know, when it comes to team sports in particular. Listen, hey, we are fighting for one another. We're together in this thing. When one person is struggling, hey, we're looking to pick them up and pick up the slack, if you will. Right? Hey, if somebody needs help, man, we're looking to go there and be support to them. And what Paul reminds the church at Ephesus here in the last two verses, man, is to remember, hey, you're not just in this fight by yourself. There's other folks that are in it with you. And the call for us is, man, to fight for one another. And fight together. Look what he says at the end of verse 18, man. He says, and to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's the first way that we fight for the family. Making supplication. That word's a fancy word just to mean request. Hey, choose to take, man, requests to the Lord, man. For all folks. Make supplication for all people. Not just yourself, man. Hey, pray for the family as well. We fight for the family of faith by praying for them, lifting them up to the Lord. Hear me out. Hey, though prayer is not the sole way that we minister to people, I believe that it's the best way we can. Though prayer isn't the sole way that we minister to people, hey, it's the best way that we can. It's the best way we can, because God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. hear me, I'm not saying, hey, don't serve that fellow brother and sister, right, you know, in the faith by taking them a meal. Hey, don't serve, you know, don't hear me say not to to give a word, man, as the Lord gives it to you to share with them. But hey, it ought to start first with praying over them. And man, asking for the Lord to do a great work in them. Just a reminder, right, prayer is not a last resort. It is the first thing, man, we ought to do for the family. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Then secondly and lastly, right, fighting for the family of faith, it looks like this, proclaiming the gospel. Paul says this, hey guys, remember to pray for me as well, man. Hey, lift me up in prayer. And he doesn't say, lift me up, man, so that I can get the heck out of here, man. This Roman jail, man, it's too dusty. I'm getting tired of it, man. You know, pray that God will break the chains like he did back in Acts 16 when we're in that jail. He didn't ask that. He said, hey, pray that, man, the Lord would be one that gives me boldness to open my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Man, Paul finishes this section, man, by asking for the believers to pray for him to continue to advance the gospel message outward. Like I mentioned earlier, right, it is, hey, the proclamation of the gospel, right, that retreats the darkness. It's the truth of the gospel, right, that retreats, hey, the accusation and the lies of the enemy. It's the truth of the gospel that penetrates, man, the darkness that we see in our world. And so the call for us is to pray for one another. Man, in turn, to do the same thing, to be folks that open our mouth to share the mystery of the gospel. Hey, that this Jesus came, lived the perfect life we couldn't live, died on an old rugged cross on Friday, but didn't stay dead in that tomb. He rose on Sunday morning and is sitting at the right hand of God right now. And by the way, he did that for you and for me. Doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter how broken up you feel. Hey, he did that for you. And we ought to be folks that share and proclaim this message of the gospel. We've got to understand, church, that we are in a spiritual battle. But the good news is, as we just sang, like I mentioned earlier, hey, the battle's already been won. So the call for us, man, hey, is to walk in the victory that we have in Christ by choosing to be people, right, that run to the Lord for strength. Choosing to be people that ready ourselves, right, because we're still in this old flesh enemy still attacking as long as we're here. One day there's going to, hey, one day we're going to be in heaven where we ain't got to worry about that. But as of now, hey, we're still in a real battle. And then thirdly and lastly, man, hey, we got to be folks that remember to fight for one another at the end of the day. Hey, that's how we win the battle of faith. With heads bowed and eyes closed as we wrap up today, those of you may be new with us, this is what we call our response time. The Word of God tells us that whenever we engage in His Word, there's always a call to respond. And so this morning, where are you? Perhaps you're in here and man, the reason that you've been walking in defeat for a long time is because you've been that person that's tried to rely on your own strength, your own acumen, right, to fight the enemy. You may be strong physically, you know, but you're realizing that, man, hey, in your own strength, man, you're going to fall victim to temptation every time. And so perhaps this morning, hey, your response is to choose to run to the Lord and make a commitment to run to Him every single day. Give you the strength. Continue the battle for Him. Maybe you're in here and, man, your response this morning is to choose to make a commitment to and ready yourself for battle each and every day. You've forgotten that you're in a battle, and for that reason, man, you've been walking in defeat. And your response ought to be to choose to and ready yourself for battle today. Allowing the attacks of the enemy, you know, to get you. You're succumbing to those. Choosing not to armor up. Been a long time since you've prayed, and maybe you just need to commit to those things. Confess that to the Lord and commit to those things. Maybe you're in here and man, your response today, you know you've got a brother or sister in the faith that's down bad, that's, man, in a mess. And your response is, man, to plead to the Lord on behalf of them and for the Lord to do a work, Lord, to strengthen them, encourage them. Maybe you've got other things going on in your life that you need prayer over. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And when I say amen, we're going to stand and sing in response. Maybe you've got other things you need prayer over. I'll be down front. Pastor Greg Moore, be down front.